Okay. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days. Now, this is an amazing thing. Died on the cross, rose from the dead, and appeared to his disciples not once, not just twice, but over a period of 40 days, he appeared to them many times. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he tells them this. He says, this is Jesus' prophecy over the church. Okay, so let's listen to it. Prophecy is important. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this is Jesus' prophecy, prophetic word over his church. And this is what he says. In a short while, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And then he says, after you receive power, you will be my witnesses. That means you will take the gospel first to Jerusalem, where they all lived and where they all were. And then from Jerusalem to Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. This morning, look around you. We are the fulfillment or the partial fulfillment of Jesus' prophetic words. From being a little sect of Judaism 2,000 years ago, 120 believers, it has grown to millions and millions of people all over the world. And we are part of that fulfillment of that prophetic word. Isn't that amazing? Okay, and turn to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. So Jesus started out with 120 there, okay? And we will see the progression of the growth of the church. We are along the way. And then in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we see the complete fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That, my friends, is the fulfillment at the end of time, where people from every tribe, every nation, every language, people chosen for salvation will be saved, will be there in heaven with Jesus. Are you going to be there? Yes. I'm going to be there. All right? We're going to be there. Praise God for that great, great time. But between his prophetic word and what happens at the end of time, we see the growth of the church recorded in the book of Acts. Okay? And that's such an exciting thing. So through the book of Acts, Luke records the growth of the church. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, he says, in those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. Everybody say 120. That's it. A small group. Okay? That's what it was. But then we see that the church keeps growing and growing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we see 3,000. So those who received his words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000. So from 120, it went up to 3,000. In verse 47, again, speaking about the growth of the church, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily, day by day, those who were being saved. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. So it was 120, 3,000, day by day, 5,000. In 5, verse 14, Acts chapter 5, verse 14, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Wow. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number. So we see that it was just going on and on and on. And we can go through Acts and see the growth of the church. But in the midst of this phenomenal growth, what a time to live. Imagine Peter walking by, okay, sick people were run, you know, being carried and placed ahead of him so that at least his shadow would fall on him, that they would be healed. Amazing time. Hundreds and thousands being saved, okay? And miracles and signs and wonders, demons being cast out, people who were previously Jews now bowing the knee to Jesus. Fantastic time to live in. But along with the explosive growth of the church, we see certain things that happen that could hinder and hamper the growth of the church. And we're going to look at some of one of those things this morning. But let's turn to Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Okay. So in the book of Acts, we see certain things that came that could hinder and hamper the growth of the church. In Acts chapter 5, we see Ananias and Sapphira. They claimed to be believers. Their deception resulted in their death, okay, because of what they did. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we see another situation coming up that could stop and hinder the church from growing. Let's look at what happens in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they had said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timnon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of the Lord continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing account, Lord, of the growth of the church. Thank you that these things are written for our instruction. I pray that as we look at your word this morning, you would touch our hearts, Lord. That we too would see amazing, phenomenal, supernatural growth for this, for your name's sake. Anoint me as I speak these words, Lord. Open our hearts to receive this word and obey it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, one of the amazing and lovely things about the Bible is that not only does it record the good, it records the bad and the ugly as well. Isn't that true? Yeah, we have the account of King David, a man after God's own heart, his sin with Bathsheba. You know, and all these things are recorded there, as well as the wonderful Psalms he wrote. Wow. See, our God is a gracious, a merciful, a loving God. He doesn't whitewash it. If something is wrong, it's wrong. Even though a prophet has sinned, it's written there. And so, in 1 Corinthians 10, it's Paul writing says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. "Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction." So, all the things, Old Testament, New Testament, have been written down for our instruction. Instruction means that you and I can learn from them. So, for example, when we read about Ananias and Sapphira, we won't get into that message today, that's another one, but we realize that God is holy and he can judge sin, you know. And so the instruction for us is, oh, watch out, you know, if you're in sin, just stop, okay. And here we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, what's the matter? "Now, in those days when the disciples were increasing in number." First of all, that's a wonderful thing, you know. Every church pastor would like to write a newsletter saying, you know what? The number of disciples at Word of Grace is increasing in number. Multitudes, both men and women, are being saved. Great. But there's an issue. "A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food." Can you imagine? At the height of revival, there are arguments about food. Can you imagine? Let's just look at that. Great miracles are happening, but the problem is not the miracle or the doctrine. They're arguing about the chicken leg in the biryani. Down to earth. That's what I like it. It's down to earth. All right? And so what's happening here is, let's unpack this about the Hellenists. That means the Greek-speaking Jews. Okay? So for example, let's take it, the Punjabi Christians in our midst, if there are any. And say the Hebrew Christians. So let's say the Goan Christians. And what's happening is one group is complaining against the other. You know, these Goans, when they are serving the biryani, they're giving the legs only to the Goans. They're giving the necks to the Punjabis. So that was a kind of argument. So here, great things are happening here. You know, signs, wonders, demons are being cast out. People are being healed. And then we are stumbling over food. That won't happen at Word of Grace, will it? Anyway, so let's look at what's happening. Some people are shaking their head and saying yes. Okay, so these are written as examples so that we can beware and not get tripped up over small things. Now, the first question is, who is this food being distributed to? Okay, first, the food was being distributed to widows. So this wasn't a potluck they were having. Okay, these were needy people who didn't have sustenance, and they were being supplied with food by the church, and somehow the Greek-speaking widows were not getting their share. That was the issue. Okay, now we just need to digress a bit and say, why is it that they were distributing food in the first place? Okay, so very briefly, you know, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was the time where the Jews from all the diaspora, the different nations of the world, came to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. The Holy Spirit was poured out. 3,000 were saved. We don't know how many of them were from other countries. But once they came to faith in Christ, they could not go back to their homes. They were outcasts. You know, that happens in India, in other parts of the world as well, especially in the Islamic nations. Where they come to faith, they can't boldly say, I'm a Christian, because they could be killed. And so they could not go back. So imagine a small church of 120, little bigger than what we are. 3,000 are added, and a large majority of them have no place to go back, can't go back home. So what's going to happen? We've got to take care of them. So these 120 had to look after these so many people. And so what they did was this. There was a crisis situation. Okay? And in Acts chapter 2, where is that? So in Acts chapter 2, after all these people were saved, the 3,000 were saved, come to verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 45. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. Okay? So that's what they were doing. Huge crisis situation. Hundreds, if not thousands of people needing food. And this is how the Christians responded. Selling their possessions. They gave and distributed to all as they had need. Okay, wonderful. And that's what they did. So, in Acts chapter 6, we see that the Grecian widows were being overlooked. And so they came to the apostles, to Peter, James, and John, and they said, listen, there's something wrong. So verse 2, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, now, there was a problem. It's important that we take care of widows. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 27 says this, religion that is pure and undefiled before God our Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So true religion is purity, but it's also taking care of the downtrodden. That's why, you see, the number of orphanages, charities, works among the poor is proportionately so high among the Christians, because true religion is worship, but it's also looking after those who are needy. So they came to the disciples, they came to the apostles, and they said, listen, there's a problem. Our widows are not getting food. They're being overlooked. What's the solution? Now, the solution is, they could do this. The disciples, the apostles could say, okay, Peter, James, and John say, listen, these people can't handle it. We will handle it. We will make sure that everybody is served equally, with equity, with equally, with integrity, and so forth. They could have done that. But what did they say? Verse 3. Therefore, this is what they said. It is not right that we should give up the preaching of the word to serve tables. Okay? So, this is a key thing. The kingdom of God is advancing. Here's an issue, distribution of food. Okay? And the apostles say, it is not right that instead of preaching the word, we should monitor and make sure that everybody gets food. Because each one has a different calling. Now listen, serving on tables, giving food is a wonderful thing. Jesus himself said, on the Last Supper, that day he washed the feet of his disciples and he showed himself to be a servant. So being a servant is a very high calling, is the highest calling in Christianity. Okay? God looks up on people who stoop down to serve. Okay? So that's a high calling. But we all have different roles and functions. Okay? So at this particular time, the apostle said, listen, so many are being saved. They need to be discipled. They need to be taught. They need to be trained. Okay? It's not right for us to give up preaching the word and to make sure people have food. But this is what we will do. Okay? He said this. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we will appoint for this duty. So the disciples came up with this suggestion. They said, in order to handle this important task. Now you may think, what's so important about giving food to widows? It's very important. Because true religion, as James says, looking after widows and orphans in their need. Okay, so if they had not done that, it would have hindered the work of God. And so they said, it's very important that the widows, they are important. You know, it's very important that we take care of them. But we won't do it personally. We will ensure that it is done. And this is what they say. Therefore, brothers, verse 3, pick out from among you 7 men. Okay, so they took 7 men from among you. So they didn't hire outsiders to come and do it. The catering company or somewhere else, they said, listen, among us, let's take 7 men from inside. What were the characteristics of these men who were chosen? Now remember, what's the task? It's not to fly a plane, okay? It's not to, you know, perform an open heart surgery or a root canal. What's the task? Serving food, okay? It's not serving food to the president, okay? It's widows. But the apostles felt it was so important. Okay, so important. So the world may look down on those things, but God says serving widows is very, very important. They are important people. So what were the characteristics? Number one, of good repute. So the first thing they looked for is character. Okay, 3 C's I'll give you. One is character. People, men who are above reproach, integrity, with integrity, blameless, good character. The second thing they looked for is, because you want character. You know, you don't want, unfortunately we see that in our country, you know, where food and grains are coming to be distributed to the poor, but instead of the poor getting it, it's all eaten up by the people who receive it. Isn't that true? Okay, so character is of utmost importance. The second thing that is needed is full of the Spirit, charisma. Okay? So the charisma here is not a winsome personality, but it's being full of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. So men who are spiritually minded, fearing God, working that way. And the third thing they look is full of wisdom. You can have somebody who's great character, full of the Spirit, but if they lack competence, they won't be able to do the job. So the third C is competence. Can they do the job? Full of wisdom. So what are we looking for? Character, charisma, competence. So anything we want, you know, in the church, if we want to fulfill a role, a task, these are three wonderful C's to look for. Okay? And so they chose them, and this is what they did. And they said, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostle said, choose these men. These are the qualities to look for. Choose them. We won't personally wait on the tables. We've worked it out so that the widows will not be overlooked. But our priority, and this is the priority of church leaders and elders, apostles, prophets, is two things. Prayer and the preaching of the word. Okay? So that's a key function. Prayer and the preaching of the word. Verse 5. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose 7 people. All right? And with difficult names, some of them. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas. Okay? Nice list of names to name your sons, if you have sons, when you get sons. All right? And let's do that. And these men were chosen. Verse 6, they set. Now, what's interesting about these names, the commentaries tell us, is they were all Greeks. Okay? So they were Greek-speaking people. So they said, let's choose these people so that they can minister to the Greek-speaking widows. You know, that was great. So they chose them. So the Greeks, they may have been the minority, but yet they chose these people and said, you serve those people. And verse 6, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them and set them in motion. Okay, what was the result of that? This is the result. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Wow, this is amazing. They took care of distributing food to the widows. The result was the word of God continued to increase, number of disciples multiplied greatly, and a great, it's not saying one or two, great number of priests became obedient to the faith. Who would think that a seemingly small thing like taking care of the widows would result in the church growing amazingly? Okay, now, in our church, you know, now again, remember what I read earlier from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. These things are written down as an example, okay? So an example means we can use the same principle in different situations. So how does it apply to us in the church here? Okay, let's look at how we can apply. Now, really, what we need to see is, are there needs in the church that need to be met? Okay? Are we playing our role in meeting those needs? That's the important thing. Now, what can these needs be? They could be anything practical. Okay? It could be something like having a welcome team there and having people stand there and greet and receive people. It could be having a prayer team that comes and prays. Okay? It could be joining the setup, the band, the clear up, the Sunday school. Okay? So these are all different needs. So it doesn't have to be widows in need. It could be children in need. It could be, you know, need for prayer, comfort, counseling, all kinds of things. So the question I want to ask you is, you know, will you take... I'm nearly done, so that's okay. So the question is, will you... You have a role to play, okay? By not doing anything, if you're not doing anything, you are playing a part that is negative. Jesus said, he who does not gather with me scatters. That's what it is, okay? But if we want to see phenomenal growth, we've got to say, Lord, what would you have me do? Okay, what would you have me do? Now, I want to share with you my trip to Hyderabad last weekend. I had the great privilege and pleasure and, you know, to have dinner with Bill Hybels himself. Chris will be pleased to know that. He's from Chicago as well. Anyway, so this was amazing how God worked it out. There were two meetings last week. One was on a Sunday and one was on a Monday.
And I was invited initially for the Monday meeting. Okay, it was a group of 130 pastors, and Bill Hybels would be there, and he would take questions from the audience and answer them, and that would be great. And on the Sunday evening, there was a exclusive meeting, just 13 people. Bill Hybels at the head of the table, six year, all of us together, and spending 2 hours chatting with him and getting things. Anyway, so on the second day, on Monday, I asked him a question. And the question was this: what is an ideal team? What's an ideal team? And he said, this is what it is. He said, what do you want to accomplish? That's what an ideal team is. What do you want to accomplish? Okay, so if you want to go mountain climbing, get young, fit people. Okay, that's what it is. If you want to go sailing around the world, there's another group of people. But if you're talking about the church, this is what you need, he says. He says, number one, you need a leader who'll teach and lead and preach. That's good. Number two, you need a worship leader, because half the meeting time is in worship. So you need a good worship leader. You know what number three is? Number three is get a children's worker. Okay? Children's worker. He said, children are important. And as I listened to these words of wisdom from this man, I said, yeah. You know, at Word of Grace, okay, we've got people who lead, preach, teach. That's there. We've got wonderful worship team, worship leaders, music. That's there. But where's children's work? You know, we've got a few people. Thank you, Joanna. Joanna has been working at it, you know, and doing it. But really, again, we've treated the children's work like they treated the widow's feeding. You know, it's happening. Let it happen. You know, Joanna is handling it. Let her do it, or whoever's doing it with her. You know, but really, I came back from that meeting convicted and with the sense of God saying that, listen, we need to put in much effort, people, resources to help Joanna and others with the children's work. Amen. Amen. That's what it is. That's our widow's feeding program. Okay? It's looking after the children. So we've got creche, we've got Sunday school. So we need to get that thing right. We have a role to play. You have a role to play. We're looking for three things: character, charisma, competency. Competency, you can be trained. Okay? Character and charisma, that you know, you get from the Lord, from your behavior and everything else. But I believe that as we put this word in, so, you know, this is written as an example, instruction for us. Each church will have to apply it differently. For us, the major thing is the children's work, which we're going to get into. Okay, but subsequently, it's not just the children's work, it's getting involved in every other thing in the church. So I want to urge you and ask you, will you jump in? Because your action or non-action could be actually hindering the growth of the church. I want to ask you, will you throw your lot in with us and say, I want to wait on tables. I want to wait on tables. That's what I want to do. That's what Philip and Stephen and all did. And you may be thinking, you know, there are no ads in the newspaper today. Wanted waiters. You know, what are the ads we look for? Okay, vice president needed for a big company. CEO, senior manager. I'll go for those posts, isn't it? That's what we're looking for. But in the kingdom, the ads are wanted. People who wait on tables, who'll take a hanky and wipe a child's nose, or take them to the toilet, or feed them, yeah? Or set up the hall, or stand there at the door and greet people, you know? Or make breakfast for the setup team, or so on and so on and so forth. You get it? That's what God is looking for. And this is not the end of the story. How does the story end? Stephen distributed food to the widows. He became famous as the first martyr. What an honor, isn't it? After Jesus, Stephen became the first martyr. Okay? So he had the great privilege of dying for his faith. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't one of the apostles or James or John. It was the guy who waited on tables. Okay? Philip had the great privilege after Stephen was martyred and the church was persecuted, to go down to Samaria and preach the gospel. A whole city came to know Jesus. You know, if you look at the verses there in chapter 8, it says, now Philip went to Samaria. Chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And it says, verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Wow. Here's a person who waited on tables, impacting a city, casting out demons, healing the sick. Amazing. You know, and it goes on and on and on. And then Philip had the amazing opportunity to preach the gospel to the Ethiopian finance minister. Okay? He had the privilege of having an angel come and speak to him. Acts 8 verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Wow. Who's Philip? I'm giving food to the widows. Angel comes to him. Okay? And at the end of it, he had the privilege of being bodily translated from one place to the other. You know, look at this thing. This is an amazing baptism. Verse 39. So the eunuch is baptized, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. That was amazing. Yeah, he's baptizing the guy. He just comes out of the water and zoop, Philip is gone. Amazing. So the world may look down on these people who serve like this. But the Lord looks upon them, wow, with greatness. Would you like to wait on tables?
Yes.
All right. Let's stand together this morning. Oh, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that you've set a wonderful example for us. You laid down your life, you washed feet, and you went to glory, Lord. Lord, we see the example of Stephen and Philip and the others who took on so-called menial tasks, but you raised them up and brought and glorified them. You were pleased with them. Lord, I pray for us at Word of Grace. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord? Pour out your Holy Spirit, that we too would have the heart and the mind of Jesus. Oh, Lord, that we would be willing to serve tables, chairs, children, whatever is required for the sake of the gospel, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would stir us up and shake us up, Lord. Would you do that? That we would run into the destiny you've provided for us. Thank you for this time today. Lord, we pray your blessing, your protection, your favor upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.